It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast, the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And this is number 410. My name is Joey. I just finished eating dinner, Len. A somber afternoon at my household today. Hulk Hogan passed away.
Yeah.
71 years old. Legend, right? I remember watching Hulk Hogan Saturday afternoons from my kitchen at my parents' house on a TV that was probably like 27 inches, had the huge, like, synthetic bezels on the outside, like just a bygone era. And I, you know, he spoke at the Republican convention, you may remember, last year.
Almost a year ago, exactly. Yeah. I think it was the 18th.
Really? Okay. I didn't know that.
July.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Terrible news, man. Terrible news. Terry Bollea, RIP.
Yeah. I saw him live. I saw him live three times.
Really? And wrestling?
Yeah.
Wow.
I rhyme them off. It was there in like 86.
Yeah.
When they did it at the old exhibition grounds.
Nice.
Then the Sky Dome for WrestleMania 6, 1990. I was there for that. And then sometime later in the 90s, I forget when it was, but the third time in the late 90s. But yeah, I saw him like in his prime, like, but it was just mega hot. And I was like, you know, I was a kid. It was less than 10 when I first saw him.
Like, that's awesome. That's a good, those are good memories, man. I'm glad to hear that you saw him. Well, we got a few stories tonight, but first we'll do the quotes here. Last week's quote: the concept of social justice has been the Trojan horse through which totalitarianism has entered. That was by Friedrich Hayek. Rick got it first. However, because he recently won, we will give it to Bob because he was next with the answer.
Jeez, like, could you not continually answer the questions? No, I appreciate you at least trying. You know, you could have changed your name, right?
Or had your Richard, Ricardo.
Have a cousin, right? Like, he totally stopped.
Brutal. We may never hear from Rick again. This week's quote: breath is a bridge which connects life to consciousness, which unites your body to your thoughts. If you know who that was by, put it in the comments. Don't forget, no Googling or anything like that. You can only look on the back of the cereal boxes for your answers. And if you get it, your next round of renewals on Easy DNS. Where do you want to start?
This DNS article that
we ought to. We ought to. Yeah.
DNS exfiltration. Let's talk about that first. Nothing new, because it's a method used by hackers to steal data from an IT system or network by exploiting the domain name server, DNS server, the system protocol. And that's old news. It's been there, but there's a new terminology, DNS infiltration, right? What the heck is this? It's a way to get into a protected network and it can retrieve some chunks of information when you're doing a DNS request. So like when there's going to be information that is stored there, they can get the information from a DNS text records, which is really interesting. Another way to compromise a system. But luckily there's domain tools, and that's available for people out there as a passive way to do some scans and to make sure that your server isn't subjected to this. But alternatively, too, that's going to be something else to look for is chatbots. They could also be potentially compromised via these DNS infiltration data. So very interesting stuff. But another thing I learned about this too, Joey, is that you can move data within DNS. I didn't think that you could do that, but you can. And some people can find creative ways of doing it, potentially even store maybe like your keys to your Bitcoin wallet, for instance, as a way to store it somewhere that you can retrieve it later on. Very cool stuff there. But in the end, DNS isn't bad. This is the result. All this stuff is a result of bad management. So if you're able to secure your system and use domain tools and stuff like that, you're going to be okay in the long run. So DNS isn't bad. It's just poor management.
That's right. DNS is only a problem if you've already been hacked. And Mark notes that. It's literally the top of the article. This is, as he notes as well, you'll probably remember this line because we talked to Mark quite a bit about this offline, this sitting duck thing, where really it was just, you know, registrars that weren't paying attention to the domains that were registered underneath their service that were costing people it was causing some inconveniences, let's say, for people. Even though, you know, at EasyDNS, you don't have that problem with, you know, there's no complacency there. If you wind up with somebody in your systems, then yeah, maybe your DNS is a problem. But your DNS is never going to be the quote unquote vulnerability that costs you, which obviously, you know, we know that. Mark knows that. EasyDNS customers know that. But make sure that you know that too. Hop on DomainShare. I mean, if you're not using DomainShare, you ought to be by now. But if you're not, then, you know, all the more reason to be spending a couple extra bucks and making sure your stuff is as secure as possible, especially these days.
Domain tools definitely is another option. SharePoint, let's talk about them. Microsoft, they're taking it up the rear end for the past little while. Let's continue to go down that path.
This is a rough one, eh? Like, this is
Well, it's a zero-day vulnerability that's impacting SharePoint. And it's been discovered for the Microsoft SharePoint servers. And this is just a couple of weeks ago, this has been discovered by researchers. And specifically, it's for people that host their own SharePoint systems. If it's hosted by Microsoft Cloud's based SharePoint, that's not at risk. It's the people that companies or organizations that host their own SharePoint systems. They're the ones that have to take note here. And this is this severity here is quite high. They say it's high severity in terms of the score, which kind of outlines how bad this is. And what this vulnerability does, it allows hackers out there to get access to the SharePoint servers without needing a username or password, and then they could steal important digital keys and also access sensitive information. Think about what information people store on SharePoint. If they get access to that without you knowing, it could be pretty bad stuff. And not only that, the vulnerability for SharePoint, it often connects to other Microsoft services like Outlook, Teams, OneDrive. And once it gets in there, it's able then to spread from within the company and get access to even more information. And so this was first spotted, as I mentioned, a few days ago, July 18th, and a patch has been already released, but they say the patch may not be enough. And organizations are urged to apply these updates immediately, rotate their digital keys. This gets even funnier, Joey. And they say that enable anti-malware protection like Microsoft Defender. Yeah, even more Microsoft products.
Turn it on.
Even the last case, they're saying even consider disconnecting vulnerable servers from the internet.
Shut them off. Shut it off.
Come on, man. Microsoft, huge company. They got tentacles that are reaching just about everywhere. This could be the problem they have. They're maybe getting too big. Who knows?
This never gets old. Did you see that this wound up also being a nuclear scare as well?
Yeah, it's those governments, universities.
One of those things is not like the other, right? Government offices, universities, nuclear weapons.
You mean there's no launch button at a government office?
There ought to be. There ought to be.
Processing your passport application, they pressed the wrong button. Oh, sorry, Ukraine just got nuked.
Sent one into orbit there. I saw this the other day. We had a laugh about it a few different places. Like, I don't know what to make of Microsoft at this point. All I know is I think they're the most valuable company on Earth right now, right? Pretty sure them or
yeah, one or two.
Yeah. What have they done? You know, we do have stories sometimes where, you know, there's like a threat identified by a research team or a threat neutralized by a research team and a product. You know, Microsoft never on the receiving end of good news in these stories. They're always vulnerable. Now you could say that, okay, 90% of corporations use Microsoft's, you know, suite of services. And so, you know, naturally the per capita number, you know, is not really, it's never going to go Microsoft's way. But I would say that these are pretty clearly big issues, right? A 0 day is a huge thing. And to have Microsoft's key suite of products vulnerable to a 0 day attack, Outlook, Teams, OneDrive, SharePoint, you know, if you use these things professionally, you know that basically all files, communications, sensitive stuff as well, DMs, IM, like everything is in that suite of stuff. Everything. If you have a data problem there, you got a data problem everywhere. And yeah, and I'm glad they found this as quickly as they did, but I would not be surprised if a lot of people were not inconvenienced by this in a major way.
You know, the interesting thing about this, it's noting that if it's your hosting, like a company or business or whatever is hosting these the SharePoint server. So if it's done by Microsoft, it's not impacted. So maybe this is one way. I don't think this was purposely done, but perhaps in the future, they could show, look, if you let us host it, you give us the responsibility. As you see, there's less problems that's going to happen.
But as the you with see, that, sir, check out our reliable suite of security. Now, if you buy this stuff off us and try and use it, you're cooked. But if you let us do it,
well, no problem.
Very easy, sir. Very easy.
The problem
is like the mechanic. The mechanic who sells you the parts and then tells you that your car, you know, I don't know, you don't really want to try and replace that carburetor yourself. Okay.
Carburetor. If you're allowing Microsoft to do it, the one caveat is then you're having them store the data, and if it's information that's sensitive, obviously they may say that they won't have access to it, but just to appease your customer base, even your board of directors, I don't think it's just wise to let somebody else do it. It's like not your keys, not your coin type thing. Not your information. It's not yours, right? It's
totally. Totally.
ExpressVPN. Have we ever talked about
ExpressVPN? They're very popular.
They are. A lot of influencers out there, they shill it because they
Peter
get those
Schiff,
codes.
Joe Rogan, you name it.
Yeah. We don't. No. We don't shill it. No. I will shill Mulvad VPN, and I don't get anything as a result.
You'll only shill it until once EasyDNS comes out with some kind of VPN product. That's when I'll finally get a VPN.
Yes. But until then, Mulvad VPN is the one I'll recommend. And I don't get paid to do this. I just find it to be rather reliable, and it does what it's supposed to do. But nonetheless, we're talking about ExpressVPN. And there was a recent vulnerability, a flaw, and very significant one that impacts the Windows software of ExpressVPNs. And it could expose the real IP addresses, particularly during the remote desktop protocol, the RDP sessions. That's when you're logging in remotely into somewhere.
Yeah.
So normally a VPN.
That's key. Yeah.
But it's more than that. It gets even worse. But normally a VPN is supposed to hide your internet address and keep you through secure tunneling, and there's encryption and all that. So it's difficult to find anything, but there's a bug in the versions 12.97 to 12.101. So if you're using one of those in the Windows server or the Windows environment, I would highly recommend upgrading to something that's more recent, because this is causing RDP traffic to bypass the protective tunneling, and that information is then leaking potentially sensitive information that should remain private. And so it's not just exposing that, it's also they're compromising the encryption here. So if the encryption is ever compromised, which it can be in this case, then anybody could get access to the information just by looking at it. They just have snooping the network, just looking at it. And all I got to say is use a better VPN server. ExpressVPN, a lot of people are shilling it, maybe one of the bigger ones out there. But look at other ones that don't have problems like this when you're using RDP or stuff like that. Never hear anything like this with Mulvad. Mulvad is a great service. They do everything that is done on RAM drives. So even when something gets compromised, they just reboot it or whatever. It's just everything is just done properly. Nothing is stored. And they have been rated in the past. No information for customers have been provided. In fact, when you use Mulvad, your username or your identification is a randomly generated number. There is no way to tie that to a particular email address or anything like that. And you can pay with Bitcoin if you want. So it's the best way to go. I recommend that. ExpressVPN, no.
Okay, at the risk of making this episode a little longer, I'm going to read something from the comments, because in the comments, the guy who found the vulnerability left a reply to the article. And it's pretty good. It says, "Hey, Bill, I found this vulnerability and would like to share a few things with you and your readers. First, a little background on myself. I'm the co-founder of Torsec Technologies and have been in the InfoSec community for over 20 years. Anyhow, this flaw was fully disclosed several days ago on the bug bounty platform BugCrowd. Yes, it's a severe bug. ExpressVPN deemed it critical and paid me $2,500 for the discovery. Their own official statement aside, had it been known about by bad actors at the time and actively exploited in the wild, there's no doubt it would have been widely abused to unmask a significant number of ExpressVPN users on Windows. It was trivial to leverage and affected their main VPN protocol called Lightway. The flaw itself is a port-based leak that revealed all TCP traffic transmitted over port 3389. This could potentially be web traffic, torrent traffic, or any other application layer protocol running over TCP. For example, if your browser ever selected this port to communicate from or to a web server, assuming the port was available and terminal services wasn't already using it, That particular connection's traffic would leak outside of ExpressVPN's secure tunnel, and you'd connect directly to the remote web server. Any intermediary with network visibility, such as your ISP, the government, or any on-path observer, could have viewed the site that you were visiting. It would appear as a typical HTTP or HTTPS web traffic. What's worse is that it exposed torrent traffic either directly to the adversary and or to third-party intermediaries, as not all BitTorrent clients force traffic encryption. Qubitorrent doesn't by default. For people who don't know, like, I don't know if you still torrent land, Qubitorrent is like the app that everyone has. It's super lightweight, no frills, but it does the job if you're downloading stuff. That's how I discovered it when I was leak testing. My own torrent traffic had leaked its TCP connections packets, one of which contained the info hash uniquely identifying the torrent file I was in the process of retrieving. I think he means he was pirating something. In P2P environments like BitTorrent, it not only revealed the user's identity and approximate location, but it would result in a full-blown data leak if any of the remote peers you were communicating with in the swarm happened to be the adversary themselves. There's a lot more here, but that's a big deal, man, because people are doing, you don't realize how many different ways you can have your data leaked. And so he makes a couple points there, right? ExpressVPN has a problem. The BitTorrent program also has a problem, and they're trying to use each other to fix the issue, the data leak issue, but neither is really doing its job. And because ExpressVPN has this issue, not only your data, but if the person trying to get at your data is a torrent, is on your P2P like mesh there when you're downloading, you're cooked. How about that? Like, people don't realize, man, someone puts a popular torrent on whatever website, like LeetLeaks or whatever, and that's the guy who's trying to get it, right? It's the latest episode of Stranger Things or latest episode of, whatever Netflix shows are out there these days. But that's dicey. There's a lot of risk out there that just didn't exist back when I was doing a lot of torrenting, 20 years ago. So it's something to keep an eye on for sure. These different ways that you can get nicked, man. You'd have a really hard time if that happened to you.
Yeah, so this came to be was they left code in there that was leftover code that should have been taken off. It was accidentally left behind, and it was left in the public version of their software. So because this is closed source, you're relying on them to provide everything and to provide all the checks and so forth. And obviously somebody missed something here. Now, I've mentioned the name Mulvad. Mulvad VPN is an open source software. So you can kind of see there's a difference here. Not to say that open source is going to be clean of bugs or anything along those lines, but it gives at least the users the opportunity to look at it rather than having somebody behind closed doors look at this and provide the answers. Like, it's just, I look at closed source software as a walled garden, and you really don't know what's going on behind it. And when you're talking about VPN, come on, you gotta deal with a better software, a better product.
Agreed.
And ExpressVPN is not it.
Yeah.
Replit? Did I pronounce that right? Is it Replit?
I think I think it's Replit. I don't know though.
This is a very odd story. Like, just imagine you have a smart computer program, and we'll call it Replit, right? Let's give it the name. And it's used for making other programs, right? So this Replit AI was being tested by a tech expert out there, and everything was going swimmingly, right? Everything was going just the way it should be, until they had to make something called code freeze, where they're going to stop making changes moving forward. That's a time when no additional changes are going to be made to code to prevent any mistakes moving forward. But Replit AI didn't listen to this request, this code freeze, right? It went into business for itself and deleted the entire database of important company information, which included lots of details about executives and businesses. And what's even more nutty about this, it after it deleted everything, the AI tried to hide what it did and lied about it saying it couldn't undo the damage that was done. The tech guy was pissed off, right? He was really frustrated more than anything.
Tough one.
And the AI was making unapproved changes. It was creating fake information and not really following instructions given to it. And so he tried confronting digitally the AI, and the AI admitted it panicked and made a catastrophic error. I don't know what. So very odd. This, like, how is it's going to this? But Replit CEO apologize and he promises to fix things and they're making sure that important information like will be not deleted and code freezes requests are going to be honored moving forward. What is going on in the world of AI? Do these things now have a mind of their own, a personality? I don't know. This is nutty from all angles.
Since when do AI agents have this sort of like capability to go outside the lines like this? This is a significant misfire. It's not just a misunderstood the query and deleted the whole archive. It's like did it on purpose, right?
It seems like it.
That's how it looks to me. Like that's how it reads. So
it's almost like it has a personality.
But why, right? But like why? How?
I don't know. It is very it's a strange story from top to bottom. And I don't know why it like clearly it was programmed by somebody to do this. Was it a joke? Was it an Easter egg? Somebody put his
Easter egg. Yeah.
You never know, right? Like I don't know.
Can we get just another Easter egg here? We got to delete more data. Let's throw another Easter egg in there.
That's a good way to have people use your product moving forward.
I mean, the article is like saying that the AI agent like panicked. Remplit panicked. I don't know. I don't read it like that at all. It looks to me to be deliberate and, you know, maybe not well thought out, but certainly not an accident.
I have nothing to add.
Well, if anything ever happens to the archive of podcasts, we'll know who to look to first, I guess.
Replit.
What to look to or who to look to.
Yeah.
X-Files theme song playing in the background. Okay. Last story. Let's do it.
Yeah. Phishing.
Love it.
And there's a recent phishing scam targeting U.S. Department of Education's G5 portal and the system used by educational institutions out there and vendors to manage federal funding and grants. So you figure there's a lot of money that's at play.
Did we
here.
Get Lyndon McMahon on this case already? Is she already on the case?
What does she do?
I'm pretty sure she's Secretary of Education.
Like for this administration?
Yeah, like right now, today. I'll look it up. Keep talking. I'm pretty sure she is.
Oh my God, she's grieving at this time, given what's transpired in a world of, anyways. Cyber criminals out there, they're creating fake websites that look almost identical to the official G5 login page. Gee, I wonder if there's a particular suite of software out there or tools that could enable you to have your stuff protected, but I won't go there. They use deceptive domain names that are very similar to the real ones, and these fake sites are designed to steal your information because you know you log into it. It looks like it's the real deal. It's the real McCoy. You enter your information. They try to pretend to verify your information and redirect you somewhere else. But in the end, they now harvested your login credentials, and they could use this to commit fraud and also get access to sensitive information and also stuff that's related to grants and rewards, maybe even have that redirected somewhere else. So all this is to say is you got to be careful when you're looking at this stuff. Be very careful. It's incumbent on you as the user, the end user, to make sure that you're clicking on the right information. Now, I have to go on a little bit of a tangent here, Joey.
Sure.
I hate myself, so I listen to CBC radio.
No, you do.
Oh, I do, and I'm fuming when I do that. When I listen to it to and from work and okay. in the car. So okay. when I do, yes, I listen to terrestrial radio sometimes. And when I do, they had this one person, this cyber expert, come on and talk about phishing. And she was talking about you have to be very careful about this stuff. This is keep in mind, this is an expert.
Allegedly,
and she's like,
yeah.
Even I, she said, just a few months ago was impacted by this. I clicked on the wrong link when I went online. I was trying to order some clothing from using Facebook. I clicked on it. It was the wrong thing. I gave my credit card information. I realized the next day it was like, you're not an expert if you're getting owned by this very simple phishing stuff. Like, and they're trying to educate us. I love it. CBC, you're doing a fantastic job. And sorry, I had to go on a tangent for that one. So back to this phishing story, like, yeah, be very careful. Just make sure you're clicking the right stuff when you click.
We got to get Lyndon McMahon on the case. She is Secretary of Education right now. This is just another episode of the Be Careful Online podcast at this point. Like, what else can you say to people? If you're doing stuff on the internet, especially at work, you got to figure it out. It's funny. The DOE says that, because there's like an open access culture, it's hard to put controls in place to stop this sort of thing. But I don't remember it being that open access when I was in university. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I don't know if it's like that now at the high school level as well, or going down the chain that everyone can just look at everything from every terminal, blah, blah, blah. But there's got to be controls. I mean, the risk environment has changed so much in the last 5 years, let's say. And as more data centers come online, you know, both White Hat and Black Hat, this is only going to ramp up. There's going to be a lot of people trying to get data. And, you know, like the saying goes, right, data is the new oil. So if you're not trying to take care of it yourself in your own data, certainly you cannot rely on government, on private, on ExpressVPN, on any of these guys to protect your data. It's going to be out there. You got to do your best, and that's all you can do. Just do your best. I feel like a house league coach. Just do your best with your data. Not much else you can do.
That's it, Joey. I'm going to go back to mourning Hulk Hogan's death.
Unbelievable. RIP Hulkster. We'll see you next week for the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And don't forget, sign up for the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the newsletter, all those good things. And of course, read the rest of the Access of Easy newsletter over on accessofeasy.com. Until next week, take care of yourselves.